Hello, and welcome to Stardust Records, a Star Wars podcast. I'm your host, Linz, and I'm here with my co-host, Savi. Today, we're going to be discussing episodes 8 and 9 of The Bad Batch Season 3. The titles are Bad Territory and The Harbinger. Let's start with Bad Territory and the return of Fennec Shand. It was really, really cool to see Ming-Na Wen reprise this role after, I think her last time she was playing Fennec was in the Book of Boba Fett, I believe. I was glad to see her back, and it seemed like they updated her look a little bit. The animation, I know the animation has just gotten better and better anyway, but it really did seem like they had changed the face model just a little, and I thought it suited her really well. And it was neat to see a little bit more about how she operates as a bounty hunter, especially, you know, in the past, you know, not in the Book of Boba Fett, but like before that, when she's like in her prime, basically. Not to say she's not in her, that she's lost it in the Book of Boba Fett, but it's kind of cool to see her in her prime, more of that.
Pre-robot guts.
Yeah, and it wasn't a surprise to see her in this episode because we'd seen her in the trailer months ago, but I didn't expect for her to be going on a little mission with Hunter and Wrecker. So that was cool, a little twist. I thought they were just going to run into her or she was going to cause them problems, but it was neat to see them working together. So what did you think about Fennec being back and kind of tossing it over to you?
The episode was just really interesting. I feel like when I was watching it, I felt like people were going to call it a filler, but to me, it wasn't, because I felt it was super important to move the plot forward. Like, when they went to Fennec, it was for help. So, obviously, like, this was just a step towards that. But I kind of loved it. I thought it was really campy. Like, the Everglades, like, environment was kind of fun. Also, I loved this little touch, but I just love it when Star Wars does this, but we get, like, a planet that we don't know, and we get, like, the environmental and, what's that called? Oh, the atmospheric description? Like, you can't breathe on this planet, so you have to use this. I don't know. It's one of my favorite things. But I thought the episode was fun, and the whole, like, bounty hunting aspect was cool, and Fennec is as badass as always. And yeah. I loved seeing this hunter, like, so basically desperate for answers. Like, he almost didn't, like, he didn't question anything. He was just like, let's just go with it. Like, Wrecker was almost the logical one on this. And then he was kind of like, okay, fine, like, we're gonna have to do it. Like, Hunter sometimes didn't say anything. He just went with it. So it was interesting to see Wrecker be the one questioning it and be like, well, are you sure? But I don't know.
Yeah. You know, like in the ship on the way there and then in the water too, she was like, you got to get in the water and disable these mines. And Wrecker's like, what? And Hunter just is like, well, let's go do it. And they're the guy that they were hunting, Sylar Saris, the slayer of Ordo Aris, and they're after him because he double-crossed the Haxian brood. And I know you and I both were like, oh my gosh, Jedi Fallen Order, you know, reference there. And Ordo Aris was an asteroid space station that the Haxian brood was like their stronghold. And it's a asteroid that's actually a remnant of Polis Massa, which is where I think there was another remnant in the Polis Massa, like, asteroid belt. That's where Luke and Leia were born. So, like, it's, like, all in that, you know, same little area. But, yeah, so we go to Ordo Aris in Jedi Fallen Order when Cal is captured and he has to fight in the arena. So I thought that was a really cool little thing that they added in there. And I think it's neat that they're, you know, talking to the Fallen Order people and like there's crossover and we just love the continuity of it. But we don't know what kind of alien Sylar is. I tried to look it up, but he's new. He's a new alien, which is neat.
Some sort of praying mantis grotesque creature. It was freaky. But to go off of what you were just saying, the continuity, I feel like recently everything has felt so much more connected than it has in the past. And I feel like it started with Jedi Survivor with the High Republic. Like I feel like that was the first time where like one, maybe I'm wrong. That was the first time where like one big prominent era was a part of another big, really prominent era. Like the two were like very coincides, I guess. I don't know. Like we just spent so much time on it, but now like with the Haxian Brood and the Bad Batch and like references here and there, I don't know. It's cool.
And I was thinking about that too recently because I just finished phase one and I remembered that in the 2020 comic run, Star Wars comic run, there was an issue where Luke encounters a figment of Elzar Mann. And so just that, the continuity of the High Republic being added into everything and bleeding over into the comics and stuff now that it the Star Wars comic run and not just the High Republic comic run. So something to be excited about. Other than that, oh yeah, well, we've got a whole other part of this episode. We've got Omega and Crosshair on Pabu. And before Wrecker and Hunter leave, Hunter tells Omega, hey, can you try to get Crosshair to figure out what's up with his hand, basically. So that's her kind of mission in the episode is to help him figure it out. And we talked about this a couple episodes ago, wondering what the origin of his tremors are in his hand. And we considered physical issues or psychological issues. And it seems like in this episode, they definitely are leaning towards it being a psychological thing more than anything else. And I love how they handled it. And I love that, even when Crosshair didn't want to talk about it, Omega was still, she was still there for him and supported him in a way that he needed, Because I think that he did want to find answers for what was wrong with his hand or what was the issue. And so she didn't give up on him. Omega never gives up on him. So I don't know why we're not surprised there, but
No, and
what did you think about it?
she nods to that in the harbinger, I think that's how you say
Mm-hmm.
it. But no, I thought it was great. I think that this episode ended up being one of my favorites this season, specifically because of the scenes with Omega and Crosshair. But I posted about it and I just said that I loved how this episode highlighted like the difficulties of taking care of your mental health and how patience from not only the people you love, but also with yourself is really important. Like I feel like Crosshair was kind of learning that from Omega, that, to heal, you have to have patience and empathy, I guess, with yourself. I don't know. I just loved the moment that we had with them on the cliff where they kind of just took a deep breath together and meditated. And I think it shows like the emotional maturity of Omega and how much she's grown. And it's a really beautiful scene. I really enjoyed that. And I'm glad Crosshair got to have it because, like, sometimes mental wounds are as real and big and as painful as physical wounds. So it was really great to see it be treated like with the same care, I think. Like if Crosshair was like physically injured, So it was a really beautiful moment. What were you gonna say?
It was. No, it was. And I, as you're talking, it became clear to me that their choice to give Crosshair that hand tremor was to show a visual cue to the audience that he's not okay mentally and working up to where he starts to heal it. And I think that was so clever and so beautifully done. And I think, like you said, it shows emotional maturity from Omega and also, Crosshair starting to let go and to trust even more and look inward within himself and be willing to, I guess, face it and accept it in a sense and then let it go. I think that those scenes with them, especially the meditation scene, which I thought was really beautiful and sweet. And the fact that, you know, we get to see that Omega is using what she learned from Gunji in season two on Kashyyyk. And then it is kind of a nod to what we get in the next episode, you know, that she, well, we'll talk about that soon, but I love that there, it's kind of like you said, or like we were saying, it is kind of like a nod to what we're gonna get. Yeah, so Fennec and the boys, they take care of business. They catch that weird praying mantis guy.
The
And
grotesque creature.
they capture them or him together. And true to form, Fennec, there's always a catch with her, but she does come through for them. She doesn't give them what they want right away because she doesn't have the information right away. Or she doesn't have an answer for them right away. So they have to trust her. And we get that cool scene with her at the end where she's talking to some bee whose voice is kind of distorted. And I think a lot of us knew it was going to be
Asajj.
Ventress. Yes. But I thought it was cool that she had her voice distorted. I know that was to kind of like give us a suspense, but it was a nod to me. It was a nod to how in Rebels, Ahsoka's voice, when she was first in the show, you didn't know it was her because she was talking to Hera and her voice was like distorted as well. So I thought that was a cool little through line, little nod there. But yeah, so that kind of concludes the episode. So on to the next episode, the Harbinger. And I actually want to look up what that means really quick. I believe it means like a messenger. Yeah, so a harbinger is a person or thing that announces or signals the approach of another. And the episode's called The Harbinger. So
Well,
is
do you think this
Ventress the Harbinger?
Well, that I guess that depends. Do you think that's the last time we saw her in the Bad Batch?
We're gonna see her again. I just know we're. I don't know if it's gonna be in the Bad Batch, but I feel like we're gonna see her again. But it's like, oh, so is Ventress like the one that's in, like announcing that Omega is gonna be like force sensitive, or is what's the Harbinger the fish thing? Like what?
Or a Batcher. She found her ship.
This is
So.
true. This is true. So I know they know they don't give these episodes these titles for no reason, especially something like that. So whenever we get the title or see the title and then we get the episode, I always want to like be like, well, what does it mean? They didn't just randomly name it that. But speaking of Batcher being the one to lead them to Ventress, she takes off down the beach and leads Omega into a cave.
Typical pit bull behavior. Running headfirst into the unknown, only to be afraid seconds later of what they found. I thought her entrance was pretty Ventress-esque. I thought that since she, was always kind of like that mysterious Sith assassin that we would get in the Clone Wars and throughout Dark Disciple and stuff, it was definitely a very adventurous-esque entrance to just kind of appear from the shadows.
Yeah. And last we saw her, for people who've read the book, she kind of disappeared into shadows in a sense. She was quote unquote laid to rest in a Night Sister cavern cave. So the fact that she's emerging from a cave was very poetic to me.
Well, so a lot of people were like, how do you guys feel about the retcon of Dark Disciple? But it's kind of pretty set in stone that it wasn't retconned. So, and that we'll see future stories with her. So a lot of people are guessing it's going to be Tales of the Jedi.
Oh, I hope so. Oh my gosh. Well, yeah, and I was thinking about that because in the last season of Tales of the Jedi, we had Ahsoka, you know, she escaped. She kind of started her path forward and becoming the Fulcrum. And I wonder if we get Tales of the Jedi with Ventress, there'll be kind of a, I don't know, we could get a Ventress Ahsoka run in again. I don't know. I just have this sense that, because like we got Obi-Wan, we got Quinlan, we got Ahsoka, we got Ventress all alive now at the same time. And I just feel like it would be really crazy if none of them crossed paths at all in this era. Like, they can't just be floating in the wind, never crossing paths with each other or knowing that the other was alive. I just refuse to believe. So I think we're
Well,
gonna get.
in Kenobi, like Tala with the path saying that Quinlan was helping out. Well, Obi-Wan is the one who's like Quinlan. But yeah, so I don't know, maybe we'll get more about the path. Who knows? Or well, we got Dooku in Tales of the Jedi, so I feel like it would make sense to get Ventress
Yeah.
next. I
Oh,
don't
I'm
know.
crossing all my fingers and toes. I really need this.
Be cool to get like a Padawan Ventress story or something, or her on Dathomir, or if we got the arc, the unreleased Jedi, the Clone
That
Wars
would be
arc,
amazing. I
Dark
would just be
Disciple.
like, because then it would explain. And if they like ended it with how she is like alive, you know, her emerging from Dathomir alive, that would just bring it all together, a nice little bow. I love how, have they announced a season two of Tales of the Jedi? I'm just assuming they're
Yes.
gonna do it. Okay, good,
I don't
good.
think there's a release date, though.
Okay, well.
I think we're probably going to get Acolyte first.
Yeah, maybe they'll
But
do like a, I don't know, we'll see.
what did you think of the like training that Asajj was putting Omega through?
It kind of reminded me of the training that she gave Quinlan, but without all of the like embrace your strength and power and darkness stuff.
Yeah, almost like it
I
was the exact opposite.
exactly, in the sense that like she. Because the only other time we've seen her in a quote unquote teacher role was in that book. So now we're getting her, seeing her able to, I guess, a light side version of that. Though I hesitate to say, I'm not much of a like a gray Jedi proponent, but I don't know if Ventress would call herself a Jedi. So I don't really know how to classify her. She doesn't need to be classified, but just for the sake of
She's
as
definitely
we're.
not who she was when some of us last saw her.
Yes, so she's just Ventress.
She's just Ken.
I think
Just
she.
Ventress. Sorry.
No,
Go
you're good. You're
ahead.
good.
Go
I loved how patient she was with her, but also so firm. You know, she
ahead.
wasn't gonna just like let her get off the hook, but at the same time, she wanted Omega to see some sort of improvement or some sort of get somewhere with it, you know? She's like, you asked for this, and I'm giving it to you. I'm giving you the tools that you need to figure out if you have a M count or you are force sensitive. So, and she was so clever in sending Omega away when the rest of the Bad Batch were catching on to her.
I also really loved the release, I don't know, maybe you noticed it, but the subtle nods to the book. So I remember Quinlan and Asajj rescuing the Pike children, and like how good she was with them, and now how good she was with Omega, and then the scene with Quinlan killing the snake. Now this is the opposite. Asajj is kind of calming a creature down, so I loved that scene. A lot of this Omega and Asajj stuff reminded me of Luke and Rey.
Yeah. And I loved seeing her in that teacher role. And it made me really kind of, I guess it's bittersweet and it's sad because I really think Ventress, if she had stayed a Jedi and grown up in the Order and you know, taken on a Padawan, she would have been a wonderful master, in my opinion. I think she had all the inner characteristics of a wonderful master, and just seeing her step into that role for Omega just for a short time and stay even after the fight with the Bad Batch. Like, she stayed. She's like, no, I've committed myself to doing what, Omega, helping Omega. And so she stays even after. And Omega, I don't remember if Omega was surprised, but she's like, oh, you're here still, you didn't leave. And well, Ventress wasn't going to get scared off by the Bad Batch anyway. But yeah, I'm just smiling so big right now because I was just so happy to see her. And like, I was sad when the episode ended because I wanted more of her, but we will get more of her. And yeah, what did you, going back to what you were mentioning just a minute ago, where she was able to calm the creature, do you have any more thoughts on that scene?
Why? I feel like you're cooking something in your brain.
No, I just wanted to go back to that because I thought it was such a beautiful moment. And like the juxtaposition between, Omega trying to reach out in the Force first, and then Ventress does. And Ventress doesn't call well, not intentionally, like she says, she doesn't call this giant creature. She's just calling the really pretty, bioluminescent fishies. And
The fishies.
it's funny to see her be like kind of on her back foot for a second, like, I didn't mean to do that,
Yeah.
and yeah.
I thought it was a really beautiful scene. I particularly actually really loved the scenes with Crosshair and Asajj, especially after the scene where Omega is talking to all of the guys in the ship and she's like, well, I gave you a second chance, or like I never gave up on you. Sorry. And he kind of has a moment of realization, obviously, because after the whole accident on the ocean, he is helping her up onto the ship.
Yeah, he's like the first, he's the one that stays and helps her. And she accepts, which also is a big thing for Ventress too, I believe. It shows just so many little things throughout this episode that really show us just how far Ventress has come from the Ventress that we knew in the Clone Wars. Ventress in the Clone Wars, I don't think she would have taken someone's hand for
No.
help onto a ship. So,
No. She probably would have
yeah.
hacked it off.
I slapped it
People are shipping Crosshair and
away.
Ventress, and I don't know if you've heard their ship name, but it's actually one of my favorite things in the whole world. It's Ass Hair. I kind of love it.
Did see that, and yeah,
I love the
I
Star
think it's
Wars fandom.
perfect.
I think so too. I think it's cute. I love thinking that they could be like a brother in arms type relationship. I just love Quinlan and Asajj.
Yeah, they're my number one. I yeah.
Husband and wife.
Yeah.
The blueprint. The Jedi Knight sister ship.
I feel like if this is going off topic a little bit, but I feel like if Ventress had remained part of the Order, well, because backing up, we know Quinlan and Obi-Wan grew up together. I believe they're Padawans like at the same time. And I think Ventress is probably around their age. I can almost picture sort of like Jedi trio, the way that Elzar, Avar, and Stellan are. And I feel like they'd be a little bit more off the book, but I don't know. So, but I just kind of get those vibes from them. And I wish we had seen a scene with all three of them because we've seen stuff with like Quinlan and Obi-Wan. We've seen Obi-Wan and Ventress. We've seen Ventress and Quinlan. They're just like, kind of like this trio. So I think there was scenes with the three of them in Dark Disciple, if I remember correctly. Yeah, there was. They were all three together in the book. So, anyway, I just love talking about them. I love them. But yeah, so who knows? We might get, Quinlan and Asajj back together at least in the future. Crossing my fingers and toes again.
No, it would be really cool to see animated Quinlan again. I think that it would be One of my favorite Clone Wars arcs is the one with Cad Bane and Quinlan and Obi-Wan. I think it was so fun. And the Hutts. Like, I remember that one so fondly. It's been so long since I've watched it, but he was just such a wonderful character. Like, I hope that wasn't the last that we see of him.
I doubt that it is, because they gave us, you know, like you were saying earlier, they gave us Quinlan basically scratching Quinlan Voss was here on the wall for the Jedi that know him. So they wouldn't have put that there and then not give us Quinlan again.
The graffiti S. He
Philip
would do it. No, he wouldn't. I'm sorry. He would. He would. He has
Don't
that.
know.
Oh, he has that aura
I think he
about him.
would.
He leaves the graffiti S's everywhere. And then Obi-Wan, Quinlan.
I've
Sorry, I'm obviously in a
lost
really giggly mood.
it. All I can think about is Quinlan carving stuff on the walls.
The graffiti S or a graffiti Q, like a feel like he would somehow figure out how to do that. It's so
With
funny because,
the
yeah, I was thinking about Vildar Mack and him actually, because I think they're the only Kefarians that we know. And I was like, God, it's like night and day. They're both so different. Obviously, they're from
Yeah.
two different time periods, but I was like, wow, Quinlan was such a troublemaker.
He was. And that's why I wish we had more about him in the current canon, because in Legends, he's even, oh man, in Legends, he's crazy. He like goes to the dark side, kind of. I mean, he does it in Dark Disciple, but like he goes underground and he's got like a lady and it's like this whole big thing.
Well, I read that one comic. I don't know if it was Legends though, but this was way back on like Star Wars Twitter when everyone was like really obsessed with Quinlan and Asajj. I don't know if you remember that, but people were just like, there was like a surge of it, and everyone was reading Dark Disciple, and people were like recommending the comics, and I read that one. And it was where he loses Ayla. Is that Legends? He's in the swamp?
Yeah,
Okay.
yeah.
It's been a long time, but.
He gets like mad at Commander Bly, and
Yeah.
Commander Bly almost shoots him. Yeah.
And you get the backstory about
Of.
the bunny or like the little critter and it dies.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
always remember that sometimes.
Yeah. I don't know if they've even confirmed in canon now if Ayla was Quinlan's master. I mean, I think we're just assuming it, and I would assume it too still. But
I hope they would keep that.
I don't know if we've gotten confirmation. I don't know if it was even mentioned in Dark Disciple, which is where I would have expected to see something. But yeah, this has now become a Quinlan conversation.
He wasn't even in the episode, and his impact is that
but
big.
it is. But circling back kind of, but while keeping with Quinlan a little bit. You mentioned earlier, I don't know if we actually mentioned this, but with Ventress answering the call to Fennec, or Fennec's, you know, call, basically like saying, oh, someone's asking about the M count. I'm assuming
I like how we
Asajj.
forgot all about that. Sorry, you're assuming massage.
No. Well, I'm assuming like Fennec and Asajj have had prior conversations. They know each other in some
Yeah.
way. Probably when Ventress was doing her bounty hunting and she encountered Fennec, like that's probably what I'm assuming happened.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, well, what happened that Fennec would be like, oh, M count, oh, I should talk to Ventress. Like something must have triggered that. Maybe Ventress, they encountered another force sensitive together. Ventress maybe rescues a force sensitive and
Yeah.
Fennec's wrapped up in that. So there's, you know, questions. We've got questions. And I'm thinking, well, if Ventress is in the business of finding people that are force sensitive or, you know, investigating that, maybe this is a jump, maybe not too big of a jump, but maybe she is involved with the path in some way. Or knows about it. Because like if I don't think Ventress is like, you know, got a bunch of Jedi on her ship. She's if she's, you know, encountered other force sensitives, she must be doing something with them. And if she's doing something with them, I would assume maybe she's putting them on the path, or the path, I don't know if it's even like started yet. Maybe she's the beginning of the path, you
Yeah,
know?
maybe.
So all these questions, but it's fun to think about because I feel like we're on the right track with that. We're on the right path.
Hilarious. That was a good one. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. This all makes me want a book or another show. I don't know. I wish that there was more. Though that's the thing, is that things may, like, there will probably be more. So.
Well, consider this. What if we got like a an animated show that's basically like what the remaining Jedi are doing between
That's a good
the
one.
Bad Batch and A New Hope, somewhere in there? Because they've hinted at the path and we haven't really seen anything else about it. Seems like a big deal, and we don't really know what Ahsoka was doing. I don't know. I feel like we could get something, if not a show, something at least. There's a story to tell there, and I would like to see it.
Yeah. Okay, last thoughts before we end the episode, but what did you think of Protective Hunter, Crosshair, and Wrecker and all that fighting? Because when I was thinking, when I was watching, I was like, she totally would have killed them already. That
Oh,
was
for
her
sure.
intention. So, what
I
did you think?
thought it was badass. I love being able to see her hand-to-hand combat. I think we got a little bit of that in the Clone Wars.
With
I don't know.
Obi-Wan.
And so it was cool to see her bringing that back and utilizing that. She didn't use her lightsabers until she absolutely had to or felt
Or
like she should.
the force, really, either.
Yeah, she prioritized everything else, which is the true mark of a character who's trying to or has been hiding their force abilities for a while. Yeah, I loved it. I loved how Crosshair was the only one who could keep up with her a little bit in hand to
Yeah.
hand. I thought that was a cool nod because he does seem like the one out of all of them who's probably most proficient with that, especially like knives, even though Hunter. I don't know. Hunter's good with knives too. I don't, Crosshair could just keep up with her.
I don't know. I thought that Hunter would be the last one standing, but it was Crosshair.
No, yeah, it was. I
She
mean,
found her almost equal.
yeah. And her lightsabers, the yellow. Love it. I love yellow lightsabers.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but she bought that off of the black market, right? I remember it saying something like that. Or she said that she bought it off. It's been a long time. I have to revisit it.
I don't remember.
I started the audiobook again, but
I don't remember. And I do, her lightsaber hilts were, looked like her
her,
old hilts.
yeah, so I don't know. They said it's gonna get explained, so I trust them.
Me too. Yeah. We'll figure, we'll see, we'll see. But it's fun to, like I said, it's fun
Theorize.
to theorize and pay attention and take note of things like that. And then, you know, another thought is the last scene with Ventress and the boys. I love how Wrecker like heads off with Omega, but Crosshair and Hunter stay because they're like, "You're lying to us." So what did you feel about that? Because it feels like we didn't get a firm answer whether Omega is force sensitive or not. And it didn't seem like Ventress was, I don't know that she wasn't convinced, but I think she just, I don't know. What did you feel?
Like that she was unsure, because I got the well that's not how I felt actually, but I got the vibes that she was telling Omega no, but it was yes, because it was a way to like protect her, I guess, because after Omega leaves, she's telling Hunter like, oh, if it's true, then she has to leave you guys. And he's like, well, that's not happening. So I don't know.
I think that
I don't think.
Ventress,
Go ahead.
well, yeah, I think Ventress knows that she's best off with the batch. And I feel like she was almost testing them throughout the episode. Not just, she wasn't just testing Omega. I think she was testing them too because she wanted to know if she could, if they could be trusted with Omega, with her safety. Because I feel like if she would have, I feel like if she was convinced that the batch were just like gonna get Omega killed or like that they were not gonna take care of her, I almost wonder if Ventress would have been like, okay, no, she really does need to leave with me.
I don't know. It was definitely left up in the air. It's why I don't think it's the last time we'll see her in the Bad Batch. I think we'll probably get her again towards the end. I don't know. When everything comes to a crux, who knows?
What if Omega goes with Ventress at the end? I don't know. I
I
don't know
don't
if I want
know.
that.
I'm curious to see why. I mean, Ventress said it. She was like, well, they made millions of you. So it's like, it's not a surprise that one of you came out force sensitive, but it's also like, was it? I don't think it was purposeful, but I am curious to see like why or how. And Nala
Yeah.
Se knew. Nala Se knew. That's why she threw away the blood.
Yeah.
So,
And she must have known for a long time because she kept Omega with her
yeah, very
as much as
close.
she could. So she was really protective. I feel like Nala Se knows a lot more than she's letting on about, because she was there from the beginning. And we know that the clones were created on Palpatine's orders, basically. So I feel like Nala Se doesn't trust Palpatine, and she doesn't obviously doesn't trust the Empire, and she probably had the foresight or foreknowledge of what could happen. And I feel like this is something that has been hinted at, and we talked about this before the season even started, that this season was going to explain possibly things that we see in the Rise of Skywalker and why Palpatine, was able to be cloned mostly successfully
How he somehow returned.
with force powers, and then we see, I feel like whatever they're doing in the Bad Batch, what we see in the Mandalorian was a remnant or an offshoot of this work that's happening in the Bad Batch, with like all the creepy,
Necromancy.
and like the weird things in the tubes and stuff in The Mandalorian. I think it was season two.
It's also why I don't think it's the last time we'll see Asajj, because Night Sisters are experts with necromancy, so I feel like, I don't know. It can't be coincidental, but not that I think she has anything to do with it. Like that, obviously not, but I think the name and like what Night Sisters can do, I'm like,
And we have the Night Sisters going back to Dathomir
With
in
Thrawn, years
with Thrawn
later.
right now. So they're like dropping all these little hints everywhere, putting it in our brains, and I don't
Getting
know how it's
us
all going to come together, and I don't want to know until it happens. I don't want to like speculate too much, but
I know.
it's cool.
Getting us so excited and theorizing and
And I bet we're gonna get some hints about it all in the next Jedi game too. I
oh
feel
yeah.
like they'll drop something in there too.
Yeah, that's possible because Marin and
Yeah. I
so.
wouldn't be surprised, basically.
Me
Even if
neither.
it's a little thing, even if it's like a little thing, it's not anything to do with like the main story, but
A TV.
I feel like we might get something depending on when the next game falls in the timeline of, release and everything. But yeah.
It'll probably be. I'm guessing it could be after season two of Ahsoka. I feel like making a game takes longer than making a movie, but I mean a show. So who knows? Maybe they'll come out at the same time. I
Well,
don't know.
I feel like we're going to get a lot about the next game at next celebration. And they were basically alluding to it right after celebration ended this last time. There were a couple devs on Twitter who were saying, "Oh, we'll be in Japan next time," and all this other stuff. So
Yeah, so maybe yeah. But speaking of celebration, we're both planning on going, right?
Yes.
Oh
I'm gonna buy I'm
my
just gonna
goodness.
like I'm gonna go out on a wing and a prayer. I'm just gonna get a ticket when it they drop in the beginning of May, I believe. I'm
Yeah,
gonna
May
get a
2nd.
ticket and
May
then I'm gonna
2,
let
baby.
and
Sorry, I'm not
I'm
letting
gonna
you
just
speak. Go ahead.
no. And I'm just gonna go out on a limb. I was like, yeah, I've never been overseas before
I feel like
for this.
Japan is the place to go for your first time overseas.
Yeah, and I'm hoping one of my brothers can go with me. And he's been to Japan before and stayed several months, so he kind of has an idea. And I think he's going to be going again before celebration. So I'm like, please come with me. He's got prior obligations that are not predictable. So I was like, just get a ticket and we'll just try to make it happen. And if you can't go, maybe somebody else can go with me, and we'll see what we can do. I know my husband can't go with me because he'll be working at the time. And so I just, yeah, but we'll see. And you're planning on going, and
Yeah, baby. I know. Well, my fiance has family there, so he has an uncle and he has a cousin and a cousin-in-law, I guess. So it'll be like a okay, we got to see this family before, the family gets too old. But there's also like little ones we haven't met yet, so that'd be fun. Yeah, I would love to go. My sister and her husband are planning on coming as well, so it'll be a whole little pookie party.
I know that I just don't want to go. I don't want to be traveling alone to different countries. So that's kind of my thing, is like I
Yeah, I
need to
feel
have
that.
somebody. I need to have somebody else with me, especially for like my first time doing any of that and using like my passport in that way and everything. I know
Yeah.
some people are probably like, I do it all the time, but I'm just like, I've never done it before, and I just would feel a lot better about it. And I'm considering, would you go to Tokyo Disney?
Hell
If
yeah,
I mean, are
100%.
you like planning it?
Yeah,
Because I was thinking about,
that was on the.
I
So
was
my
thinking like, if
sis,
I'm spending all this money to go
yeah,
over there for only a couple days, because it's only 2 days, isn't it?
it's three.
The celebrate, okay, 3 days. Then I'm just like, I should do that too. So,
Yeah, my sister came up with this really good plan about how we all had like one thing that we wanted to get to go do, and we would do it. So mine was Celebration and hers was Tokyo DisneySea. So you have to come up with your thing. And then her brother-in-law or my brother-in-law was Universal, I think, because he also likes Attack on Titan. And I
Oh
think they
yeah.
have like a land or whatever, but you gotta come up with your thing, dude.
I know, I thought my thing was Tokyo Disney, but
You and Caroline, two more people on your side.
yeah. Well, I mean, I guess we could go like after celebration, like the day
Yeah,
after.
let's just exhaust ourselves emotionally and physically. We're gonna go on the celebration diet or whatever, which is like coffee and a croissant every day, no substantial substance through the 3 days that we're there. It'll be so fun.
I'm excited. We can do it.
We
Yeah.
can.
I'm literally like, I'm just gonna buy a ticket and let everything fall into place. Like, I don't
It'll
know.
fall into
The
place 100%.
I was looking into lodgings, like, hostels and stuff, like little places to stay, rented rooms. And the prices didn't seem too bad to me for like the dates that I picked. And even though they're like, 15 miles from
Yeah. Well, thank
where we need
God
to
for
be, but
public transportation.
exactly. So, and then the tickets to Tokyo Disney were
Like $100 a piece.
like comparable or even better than just Disneyland. So I was like, well, that I can do that. It's just the flights that I'm gonna be like, oh my God. But
Yeah, the flights I feel like are definitely going to be the worst of it, but
yeah.
yeah, I actually leave for Shanghai in less than 2 weeks now. And you said the thing about traveling alone. And I've been out of the country a few times, but this is my first time to China. And I had to get like a visa and go through like the whole process, send my passport out and get it back. And I am like so nervous. I'm going alone. Like I've never like I've traveled to another country with my fiance and stuff, but never alone. Like, and I have a layover, which is the
Oh,
scariest part, but it'll be okay.
where's your layover?
It's in Seoul, Korea.
Oh,
And Seoul apparently has one of the biggest airports. So, yeah. Yeah.
you can do it. You can do
I
it.
can do it. I can, but it's scary. It's freaky. Not going to
Yeah.
China, but the traveling is scary and freaky, especially with
Yeah.
all that time on an airplane. My mom was like,
Yeah.
wear compression socks and a mask, obviously, and bring
Hydrate.
food and hydrate. I was like, okay, I think I could do all of those on the airplane already, but she was like, remember to
Yeah.
use the bathroom. And I was like, I definitely won't forget to use the bathroom, mommy. But yeah, I'm excited. I was thinking about going to Shanghai Disney, but I'll be all alone. So I was like,
Maybe wait until you go back and
yeah.
maybe you'll do it then.
For my job, I have to go twice a year. So the second time when I feel a little bit more, you know, acquainted with the area, I
Yeah.
guess. So I feel like this is pre-gaming Japan. Like if I can do China, I can do Japan.
Yeah, for sure. For
So
sure.
I think the flight to Japan is longer. I don't know.
Yeah, I
The
don't know
flight to
either.
Korea is 8 hours, and then the flight from Korea to China is two.
Well,
So
and
I
then
think
but like to Hawaii from here is like
6
6 hours, and then
hours.
I and then from Hawaii to Japan, I'm assuming is at least two.
2 hours?
At least it's probably more.
That's not so bad.
But I'm probably wrong. It's probably way more than 2 hours.
The Hawaii flight, I feel like, is one of the worst flights I've ever been on. That's a tough flight,
It is a tough
turbulence-wise.
flight.
So I remember that's the first time I ever got sick on an airplane.
Yeah, it can be rough. I've done it a
Worth
couple
it because
times.
I'm doing it in June. So,
Yay.
and maybe we'll do it again in April of next year, baby. I keep saying
I'm
that.
crossing all my fingers and toes again.
I know, maybe Stardust Records will take celebration together and not
Oh, and it's gonna
Lindsay in
be
my
such a
phone.
good one. I
I
know. The last two
know.
celebrations, I've just been like sitting on my couch watching Star Wars Live, Celebration Live, and chatting with Savi all day long. But and that was and that was I was he over here like tired.
You needed to go to bed.
Well, yeah, especially for the London one because the time zone difference was so dramatic that like I would be up at like 3 o'clock in the morning so that I could know what was happening at Star Wars Celebration.
You're so brave. See, I feel like Star
I
Wars Celebration
dedicated.
from home would be really fun, but I have major FOMO. And I also
Yeah.
just love it's really fun. Like I would recommend it to even like a minor Star Wars fan. Like it's just a fun, nice experience.
Yeah, I want to go to Japan and hopefully the next one after that will be in the United States. And at that point, I'll just be like, I'll go anywhere in the US.
Yeah.
I
So
think the next one will be in Florida. If it's in the United States, I feel like it'll be in Florida again.
really? I heard somebody
Yeah.
say that they think it's going to be in Chicago, which would be cool.
Oh, that's another, yeah, because that's another big one where
I
they
love the
usually do.
city of Chicago too. I think that'd be really cool. It's a really beautiful city.
Yeah.
But any final thoughts on either episode, what you expect from the next? Because I have no idea. I don't have any
Well,
theories. I'm just worried for our girl, Omega. I don't want her to get hurt. I don't want anyone to
Yeah, then
die
we
either.
I know. And we only have, is it just two? No,
No, we have a
three?
couple left. No, we have more.
Three?
Well, two. We're getting
Wait, let me,
two
I have
this
it
week.
right here. I have it right here.
We're getting two episodes this Tuesday night.
We are indeed. We have, oh yeah, okay. We've got episode 10, 11 coming up, and it's Identity Crisis and The Point of No Return. And we have four episodes after that.
Those are scary episode titles. Those are
Yeah.
freaky episode titles. Oh, so somebody had a theory that Clone X or whatever is a crosshair clone. So it's not tech, but it's a crosshair clone.
What?
And I know I had the same reaction. And I was like, okay, so now there's another theory for me to worry about. It would make
Oh
me
my gosh.
sad. It's like Crosshair is fighting the worst parts of himself. And like the scene in the waterfall where he's fighting and like it's just shooting guilt insults at him that like are so targeted. Like if it's him, yeah.
And how, like, he when he thinks that he's like drown him, and he kind of like takes a step back, or he kind of like moves back and like almost sighs, or like, is affected for a second. That would make so much
Like he
sense.
watched himself die. Yeah, I know. What's
What?
maybe we'll get two crosshairs in our future. Who knows?
That is so crazy.
Crosshair and like slingshot. Sorry. Not funny. It's alter ego slingshot. So I don't have any final thoughts. Just I hope that we see Asajj Ventress again. I'm really excited to see what they do with her, whether it be in the Tales, the Jedi, or something completely different. Hopefully with Quinlan. What about you?
Yes. Yes to all of that. I'm just
Okay.
going to put my stamp of approval on that. My yes.
Cool,
Yes.
thanks. I'm here all
Yeah.
night. So you can find me at Anderisms on Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram. And you can find Lindsay at Rebel Risen on Instagram and at A Cosmic Love on Twitter. And you can find our pod at Stardust Records without the O on Twitter and Instagram. And we'll see you next time for another episode of Stardust Records. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.